I tend to be a little bit wary of any television programme which has the word celebrity in it. Do you share that feeling with me? It's a bit like, I was having this discussion with my family earlier this week, foodstuffs which contain the word "and" in it. It was all right when it was fish and chips or cheese and onion. That's okay. When it turns into things like camembert and elderflower or something or other, then you start getting a little bit worried. Well, I do anyway. Anyway, this going back to this, the television programmes with celebrity in the title always worries me. Celebrity mastermind seems like an oxymoron. Two words which should not appear in the same sentence. Though having said that, the episode that I did see fairly recently with a young lady who used to be on The Apprentice, she did disprove that because she actually was quite intelligent. Not naming any other names on that particular show. When the early Christian church began to expand within the city of Jerusalem, there was inevitably those who were at the forefront of the mission as it unfolded. And as we look through the stories of the early church, we will discover names that will appear and reappear, one of which is Peter. Peter, to whom Jesus said earlier, "I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you release, whatever you allow on earth shall be allowed. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound." And there was a sense in which Peter was appointed in some ways as the leader of the apostles. But I've always been a little bit anxious about this sentence in the middle of chapter 5 of Acts, which Mick read for us earlier, where the sick who had been healed by the apostles were brought out into the streets so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. It's bothered me. It bothers me on a number of occasions. One, because it sounds as if Peter is the source of healing. And secondly, there also smacks of a degree of superstition amongst the people there, that if this were to happen, then that would be the outcome. And so I was a little bit anxious about this particular part of the Acts of the Apostles, because no one of us should set ourselves up as greater than the one who is the source of all things good. When shall I come unto the healing waters? Not when shall I be the source of healing waters. Nevertheless, whatever was going on in those early days of the Christian church, one thing was for sure, that there were hundreds upon hundreds of people gathered in one place. Now, put your own interpretation on that. But they would meet in a place known as Solomon's Colonnade, part of the temple area. When one reads the early reports of this particular time, not necessarily Bible reports, but contemporary reports, and I'm thinking of people like Josephus, who would have written from a very independent point of view, he talked about the temple being set on a hill, but it not being a very flat area, and so for a period of time, earthworks were raised up to create a flat plateau on the top of the hillside there, until there was a large enough space to create a temple which was square by and large and a furlong along each of its lengths. Anyone been to Cheltenham lately can tell me what a furlong is. 220 yards. Thank you, Assistant Corps Sergeant Major Paul Garwood, for being aware of the length of a furlong. That's fine. General knowledge at its best. This was quite a large area. Quite a large area. And this is where the early Christian community met together. Look on it as the cloister around the temple. A sheltered space where they could meet undisturbed by wind and rain. It's actually the place where Jesus himself is reported in the Gospels to have walked in the winter time. And undoubtedly they would have set small fires and braziers around the place to keep the people warm as they came in to the confines of the temple. But it was as if the Christian church, the followers of the way, the hundreds and thousands of there were now, were gathered together in this one place. Now, authorities don't look too kindly on lots of people gathering together where there is no control. Have you noticed that? And so it was with this situation here. No matter what good was coming of this, no matter that here we read verse 14, more and more people believed and were brought to faith in Jesus, crowds of men and women, no matter that the apostles' work was good work and people were healed, people were restored, people were strengthened, people were encouraged, people were delivered. No matter of all that, the high priests and his friend, who were the Sadducees, reacted with violent jealousy and arrested the apostles and put them into jail. And then comes this lovely, lovely little sentence: but an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates, and brought them out. We don't know who that angel was. Was it a heavenly angel? Was it somebody inspired by the Holy Spirit to go into that place, to take them out of confinement so that they could once more go into the public arena and start to preach? We don't know. But whatever it is, whatever happened in that situation, the Word of God cannot finally be constrained, as the songwriter, as John Gowans wrote on one occasion. We have within our possession something precious and wonderful. We have good news of Jesus. We have a faith in him that transcends prison bars, that transcends self-confinement and isolation. It transcends all those things into which we are forced to move. I was just looking around the congregation. If everybody over 70 has to self-isolate for 4 months, that's 2 or 3 people missing from our congregation, isn't it? Saying nothing. He who is now numbered amongst the elderly. We have to be very careful. I get that, and I know that you get that too, that in the current situation that the world is facing, we need to be cautious not only about what we ourselves may catch, but who we pass that on to, who we infect with what it is that we have. Now, I've got to tell you, my friends, you have been infected, but infected with the love of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And it is not for you to keep that to yourself in isolation, but you are to find appropriate and reasonable means whereby you can spread that infection to others so that others may come to know. Go that others may know that he lives. They may see in your works that the faith that you profess is alive and means something to you and can mean something to the community in which you live. to call to your neighbour, to call to your friends, to pick the phone up, to send the message, to send the text, whatever it takes to keep in touch one with another, even if there are periods of confinement enforced upon us, may the angel of the Lord allow you opportunities to get back into the public arena and witness to your faith. These apostles met opposition. There was a, "You can't do that," from the high priest and the Sadducees. There was a, "We are going to stop you," from those same people. "We are going to confine you so that you cannot work." Now, I know that that's not the reason behind the current situation, before anybody picks up on that. Having said that, there are places in our world where that is the case, where governments and regimes say to Christian communities, "You can't do that. We will not allow it." And I have to tell you that in those countries, the Christian life is still lived. The witness is still lived out, even though it is in a different shape and form than they would necessarily want. But here we have this wonderful image as we read through Acts chapter 5. They imprison the apostles. The angel brings them out. They go and find them in the... They go to the prison first to bring them before judgment, to discover that they're not there anymore. They're not there anymore. So they go out and they arrest them again. Fear this time guards the captain of the temple guard. He didn't want to treat them roughly, but he brought them before the council. And the council said, "Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man, Jesus' name? Instead, you filled Jerusalem with all your teaching about Jesus, and you intend to blame us for his death." And this is the response of Peter. And I want you to hear this, but I want you to filter this and be very cautious with how I say these next few words. "We must obey God rather than human authority," says Peter. And we need to keep that very much within the context of speaking our faith and living our faith. When the authority says to you, self-isolate, you do as you're told. When the authority says, when you turn up to the Salvation Army, you wash your hands, you wash your hands. You use hot water, you use soap, and you sing "Our God is a Great Big God" twice while you're doing it. There are things that we need to do, but I want you to see this, and I want you to hear this very clearly. As Christian people, as people with a faith and with an experience, you should look for creative ways of sharing your faith and of witnessing to the truth that God has infected you with, that others may know as well. Into this scenario comes Gamaliel. Gamaliel gives the advice: take care what you are planning to do with these men. He outlines a couple of ne'er-do-wells. He says, remember, Thudas pretended to be someone great. 400 people joined him, but he was killed and his followers just drifted off. And what about when the census was around? Remember Judas of Galilee? He got some people to follow him, and he was killed too. I think what he was saying is, it's only a matter of weeks. It's only a matter of weeks since this Jesus was crucified. It could be that this Christian thing will just fade away because their leader has gone. My dear friends, you and I know that's not the case. You know that 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating, still in relationship with, still part of God's expansion plan across the globe. And the apostles, they were released, they went rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer dishonour for the name of Jesus. And every day, here's this message again that we shared last week, every day in the temple and in their homes, they continued to teach and to preach the message that the Messiah that you are looking for, God's chosen, is Jesus. You have a precious gift in your life. Young and old, it doesn't matter. Live your life in a way that witnesses to the precious presence of God in your heart and life, and others may come to know that he lives too.